Well, it is good to see you tonight. You know, when I was growing up, I was born in 1965, just for a reference point, and my grandparents were a big part of our lives. Both sets of grandparents lived less than a block from me. I could walk to either set of grandparents in just a few seconds. And so they were a big part of our lives, and probably like many of you who are grandparents, my grandparents were very fond of their grandchildren. They were really fond of me, particularly, no offense, Eddie, but they were very fond of us kids. But my grandparents didn't have much, but they saw to it that every time we had a birthday, they would give us a card with money in it. And then every time we had Christmas, they would give us money for Christmas. And so we always got, money from our grandparents, maybe $5 for a birthday. And Eddie's going to tell me later, I always got 50. And then maybe $10 for Christmas, something like that. Not a lot. Of course, back then, $5 was more than it is now. $10 was more than it is now. And now, when I was a kid, unlike Matt, I did not lust for candy. And you've heard his stories about what lengths he would go to just to get a piece of bubble gum. But I, on the other hand, would save my money and didn't steal other people's pennies. But I would save my money whenever I would get money for birthdays or Christmas or whatever. I didn't really ever play with toys. I either read books or played in the yard. So I got the books from the library, so I didn't spend a lot of money when I was a kid. So I'd just save up my money. And I was just thinking about this the other day, and I wanted to share this with you. I remember when we as a family went out to Kenneth E. Hagin's camp meeting right around the time that he was starting Rhema Bible Training Center, which is now right outside of Tulsa in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and in the mid-70s, and they were having a camp meeting down at the big convention center in downtown Tulsa, and our whole family going out there, we would go. We went many times, and we would either drive out there or fly out there. I don't remember which one this year we had done. And one year we drove out there. There's five kids in my family, four boys and me. And my parents, and we drove out there in a car that had, just a bench seat in the back and a bench seat in the front. And so I think it was supposed to, if you put a kid in the middle, that would seat three up there, but that left four for the back seat. But we drove from here to Oklahoma like that and back and lived to tell about it. It's crazy. And there was no DVD player. In fact, my dad wouldn't let us even listen to the radio. There was nothing. We could sit silent. We could listen to 8-track tapes preaching. Or we could say our confessions. Those were our options. So it was a really long trip out there, really long trip back. We survived. But anyway, while we were out at the meeting, they were beginning to build Rhema Bible Training Center and the buildings that they needed there on the campus to house the students. Well, mainly to have classes at that point, classrooms and an auditorium for them to meet in and do the teaching. And so during camp meeting, they were really using that as an opportunity to do some fundraising and raise funds for the initial buildings that they were going to build. And so they were talking about it in the meetings. Now, again, I was probably 9, 10, 11, maybe 9, 10 or 11, not older than that, years old. You might know the specific year. I don't know, but so it was the mid-70s. And there we are. Now, again, I'm in the service. There aren't any kid services. I always went in the big church when I was a kid. Y'all remember that. Some of y'all were like that, too. There weren't any. Thank God we have people now willing to minister the kids and teach them in their level. I just had to get what I could, mostly I just had to be quiet and sit still, which is really hard. But anyway, so I'm there and I hear them talking about, I'm just a little kid, not much older than Karis, and I'm listening to them talk about this and all. And the more they talked about it and all, on the inside of me, I kept feeling I needed to give towards this project, and you're a little kid and you're sitting there. Now I'd left all my money at home, so I was trying to figure out how I was going to give when all my money was 1,000 miles away. And so I'm thinking about it, what am I going to do, how am I going to do it? But I worked it all out in my head because I figured I could ask my dad to loan me the money till we got home. I figured he'd have it. So he could loan me the money till we got home and I could give. And so just in my heart, just as a little kid there, I worked out how much the Lord wanted me to give. And he wanted me to give $100. Now, this is in, I looked it up. They have online, you can convert the inflation converters. And that $100 would be worth $400 now. that was all the money I had. It was a lot of, you know, birthdays, Christmases, anytime I got money for anything, I'd put it, you know, squirrel it away, and there was my money. And now I'm going to give it to build a building in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But that was what the Lord was leading me to do. So I remember I went and I talked to my dad and told him how he's going to have to lend me the money if he could till we got back home, because I'm going to give that money. And he let me. And that's the thing. It was, a lot of parents wouldn't let their kids do that. I remember one time early on in our ministry, Eric Netzler was a little fella, and he had a collection of baseball cards, and he wanted to give those to somebody. And a lot of parents, because of what he had in there, wouldn't have let him do it. But Mike and Claire are like, yeah, son, if the Lord's telling you to do this, do it. Sometimes your kids, they might want to give something valuable. They might want to give their best American Girl doll. I don't know. They might want to give something valuable, but if the Lord's dealing with it, don't get in the way of what the Lord's doing. And I'm thankful my parents didn't get in the way and they let me give it, which at that time for a kid was $400. That was a lot of money. It'd be a lot of money for a lot of you here tonight, but for a little kid. And so I did that. And I tell you, I remember that. I don't remember very much from my childhood, because most of my childhood, you know, was just three older brothers inflicting pain on me all the time. But no, I don't remember a whole lot about my childhood, but I remember that. It was like a big day in my life, and it kind of marked me. And so I was been thinking about that the last, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 weeks. I was telling Grayson about it one day when we were out playing basketball, and just was just thinking about that. I was thinking, wasn't that weird? This is what I was saying to him. I was saying, wasn't that weird? Wasn't that just an odd thing for a kid to want to do? Wasn't that, what was that? I'm just thinking how strange that was. But tonight I want to talk to you, and I want to, the title, I have a title. A lot of times I don't have titles. Title of my message tonight is this. It's the story behind sowing big seed. The story behind sowing big seed. And, you know, we're all called to give. The New Testament makes it very plain, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But all through the New Testament you see really us emulating our Father God and manifesting His trait, His character of being benevolent and giving. But there is giving, and under the Old Covenant, and even before the Old Covenant came into existence, they practiced tithing, which is giving God the first dime out of every dollar. Under the New Covenant, it's not that we don't tithe. The tithe is a given. We go beyond and we give whatever the Lord would have us to lead. It all belongs, whatever the Lord would have us to give, because it all belongs to Him. And a couple of weeks, we had Pastor Nate sharing with us about how God is 100% in charge of our lives. And one thing that I learned in giving that, and I think I've learned repeatedly in my life, is that when I give, particularly when I give a big seed in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit within me, I am affirming the Lordship of Jesus in my life. And I'm saying to Him, You are 100% in charge of my life. Now, it is pretty easy to come to church, and when they're singing some good songs, especially if they got a little groove to them, you know, to worship God, or even, you know, they can croon it out. We have fantastic singers in our church, and they'll sing, and it's easy to lift your hands and worship God, you know, and it's easy to pray, and it's easy for people to allow people to pray for you, or maybe to offer prayer to somebody. But I tell you, it can get difficult when God wants to mess with your money. And I've seen this with people in my 51 years of living. I've seen it be difficult, and I've experienced it myself, that it can be difficult when God starts dealing with me about my money. Don't mess with my money. I can go over to church, and I can do all that church stuff, but don't mess with my money. And, you know, if that's where your heart has been and what's been happening, I just want to challenge you tonight and say to you that He's not 100% in charge unless He's actually 100% in charge of everything in your life. There's not like something we get to hold back. But in my life, you know, giving has always been something. Thank God my parents modeled that for me. It's interesting, because probably if Matt and I both had to say what one thing we both got from our parents other than the fact they stuck together, without killing each other or the kids. It's that they both understood being benevolent and giving. Tithing, his parents traveled even for the Catholic Church and taught in the Catholic Church. Hundreds of churches they went to and taught them about tithing. In our family, that was the strength of our family, was benevolence. And even today, I see it in all my siblings, as crazy as that is. For all of the insanity that most of them suffer from, there's still that great spirit of benevolence. It's like absurd to me. But you know, Jesus is Lord. And the first thing, I have 5 points tonight, by the way. I have points. I don't normally have points. I just usually have some scriptures. 5 points. The first point is that when we give, particularly when we give at all, in response to his leading or the word, but particularly when we give a big C that is what we would call over and above, and in some cases over, above, and beyond. And that's what that was for me when I was a kid, given my basically $400 seed. That was an over and above and beyond and all I had kind of seed that I had saved for as long as I could remember, just saving my money and my little stash of cash, and I emptied it all out for something that was not going to benefit me at all, people I didn't even know. It wasn't like I was giving to somebody that I personally knew that had a need. It was something way beyond me. It was the vision God had given somebody to raise up people to go and minister the gospel. So it was a strange thing. But as I did that, I was affirming the lordship of Jesus in my life and saying to him, "You're 100% in charge of my life." So that for me, it marked me then, and there are times when I look back in my life and boy, I've made a lot of mistakes, I've goofed up a lot, missed things, but when I look back and I recognize there are times I know I was obedient to God. Just by his grace, I was obedient, and I'm this very thankful for being able to do that. Now, the second thing is I want to read to you scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 6, I'll read us several scriptures. It says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out," which is quite a revelation if you really think about it. "And having food and clothing," this is a revelation, "with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men and women in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some," listen to this, "for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Boy, this is a stern, stiff, really awesome warning from Paul to Timothy. And in this passage is where he tells Timothy, you command those who are rich in this world to be, you know, full of good works, rich in good works. Why? Because there's something about money that attracts us and draws us to it. And it creates in us, it attempts to create in us a longing for it. Because it says to us, "I am your answer." And in this world, people think money is the answer. It is the answer in the mind of the world. And in this world, what people seek is money. And what people are, their heart's desire, and oftentimes their real motive for most everything they do is to get money. And the Bible says it's the root of all kinds of evil. And I've never quite been able to work out exactly what that is, but I do know this, wherever there's evil, there is money behind it. And that we could describe things that we know of that are terrible, horrible things, and we know the reason many people are addicted to drugs is because there's people who are making a lot of money off of drugs. Just that simple. But it's not just limited to that. It's not just illegal means of getting money. It is the fact that we all have to deal within ourselves. Remember, those of you who've been here several years, a couple of years ago, we did a trust challenge, and this trust challenge was based on overcoming greed in our lives and learning to trust in God and not in riches. Do y'all remember this? Some of y'all went through this with us. It was confrontive because, you don't want to mess with that part of your life. You're like, yeah, I'll be a moral person. I'll do these things, but don't mess with my money. And it's just like something you just don't want to go there. But look what the scripture says. It says that people actually can stray from the faith because of greediness. So what I found, the second point I want to make tonight is this, that one reason that God leads me in my life to sow, not just to give, not just to tithe, not just to give over and above, which I do, but to sow sometimes really big seeds, is because He wants me to deal in my own life with the love of money and with the temptation, excuse me. He wants me in my own life to deal with the love of money and the temptation to be greedy. And one thing that I know, you don't deal with the temptation to be greedy and never face it again. You face it, and then you face it again, and then you face it again, and you face it again, and you keep facing it. And you know, even in the normal natural course of things, you tend to accumulate a little bit of stuff as you age, because as you work, if you don't, you know, spend it all, or, you know, according to good moral sense, if you can accumulate stuff, but you think getting a little bit of stuff makes you feel better. But what I've seen is when people get a little stuff, they get really, really greedy with their stuff. Like, you're not going to use my stuff. My stuff is my stuff, and don't you bother my stuff. And you hold on to your stuff, and then you look at other people's stuff and you want their stuff. And then when other people get stuff and you don't have the stuff they have, you think, I should have that stuff. Why do they have that stuff and I don't have that stuff? And then secretly, you wish you had their stuff. And sometimes you plot about how you might could get it. And then you like wake up and like, well, wait a minute, what was that? That was the devil. But you were going along with it. That temptation. And like Matt has said recently in our service, the marketers are all about tempting you. It's the course of this world. And so one thing that happens is when the Lord deals with us to not, you know, again, I'm talking about sowing big seeds, things that really are above, over and above and beyond. When He deals with us about those things, it is to just front and center cause you to have to look at your own sense of greed and your own love of money, and to just thrash through that thing so that you can be obedient to Him and not let the money have you. And one thing that we learned to do really early on, I guess we both knew to do it before we even married, but one thing is that almost every time that we've had windfall of some kind, whether we've had a bonus, an inheritance came to us, we got, you know, when we used to have little kids, we got tax credit money, so we weren't just getting tax refunds. We actually got money back, because normally we don't get money back because we don't let Uncle Sam keep our money all year. We try to come out even at the end, but sometimes you qualify for a tax credit, meaning they'll send you back. So we had four kids. We used to get some money. Those were good days. Should we have some more kids? Okay, never mind. Forget that. I found out they cost a whole lot more than they give you the tax credits. Some of you weren't thinking that one through very well. Okay. But anyway, any time that we've ever had that kind of money, what I have seen us do and what we've done is we've tithed on it, and we've always given extra. And sometimes, actually more than a couple of times, a good many times, we've just given the whole thing. just because when it comes into your hands, it's not just for you. You ask God, what is this for? And so there's sometimes we've done things and we're going, man, why are we doing this? But we knew inside the Lord was leading us. And we, you know, I think what happens is you have to like ask the Lord what to do. And most of the time we're just so busy doing what we want to do or what makes good sense to us, what seems logical to us or reasonable, that we don't ever stop and recognize, oh, you're the Lord of my life. You're 100% in charge. That means that this that just came to me, you're actually 100% in charge of that too. And what would you have me to do with it? So what I've found is, especially when you get something larger coming your way, it's a really important time. Something about that can activate the greed in your life. I didn't even know I was getting it yesterday. Today I got it and I'm rejoicing. But when I go to bed tonight, I'm thinking, why wasn't it twice that much? Should have been more. Have you ever had that? You ever had where you didn't have anything, you get something, and you're so grateful for like 7 minutes, and then like it starts bothering you. Well, if only it had been this much more. Am I the only one that ever has those thoughts? Yeah, if it was this much, it could have been more. You, Wesley, you know what I'm talking about? No? I'm the only one? Tell me somebody's with me. James, have you ever? Nate. Thank you, Nate. You can. Thank you so much, Nate. I can always count on Nate. He's there for me in the trenches. Okay. But you're just thinking, you know, well, y'all need to start thinking more. Okay, never mind. I'm telling you, and then you have all those thoughts, and then suddenly what you were planning, all these things to do, and we've heard Nate tell this where he got something and he was making plans of what he was going to do, and the Lord said, no, that's not what you're going to do with that. And he's like, oh, that's what I wanted. I want to do this with it. And the Lord's saying, that's not what you're going to do. I got other plans. I brought that to you for another reason. And get thee behind me, Satan, doesn't work. I mean, it works for Nate, but it don't work with Kristen. Kristen's like, we're going to obey the Lord. My goodness. So that's another thing I've found it does in my life. Now, here's a third thing that I've seen. The reason that God would have me to sow a big seed is because of what 2 Corinthians 9:6 says. This is a scripture we read and we know here, and it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, Eddie read the scriptures there from Jeremiah and referred to a time of drought, and Eddie said, we are not immune from droughts coming. You know, we live on planet Earth. The Bible says God causes it to rain on the godly and the ungodly. So rain comes, and that's a good thing. But, you know, on the other hand, we live in a world where sometimes there are droughts. There are things that happen around us. There are rough times economically. There are shortages in certain ways. We know that we're not dependent on this world system, that God will supply us. But what I have found in my life is that there are times I need an especially bountiful harvest. There's more demands. There are more financial demands. There's unexpected things that happen. The Lord may be dealing with you to do more. There's just seasons of life that seem to cost more money. Am I the only one that ever experiences this? Evidently, you haven't had two daughters get married. Kids go to college. I only have two in college right now. You have these things happening. You have, you know, and kids just get more expensive as they get older. Yeah, wait, do you have grandchildren? Yeah, that don't seem to be happening. So we'll just put that on the back burner for now. I'm saving for that. Okay. But what I've seen is this, and I've seen this over and over in my life, that there I will be in a season because I just know this. I don't know when the season of bountiful harvest is going to be needed. I don't know when that is, but I do know in life there are seasons where I need a bountiful harvest. Well, if there are seasons when I need a bountiful harvest, that means there's going to be seasons or times when I need a bountiful sowing. And so what I have found the Lord does in my life is that there are times He just moves on me to give and to give and to give, and maybe to give big seeds and to give a bunch of them. Just last summer we went through that. Matt and I had a season last summer where the Lord was dealing with us to give thousands of dollars extra. And I'm going to tell you, I had plans for that money, good plans. But the Lord had other plans. And He dealt with us to do some things, thousands of dollars to give to different things that He was showing us, different people, things He wanted us to do. And it didn't all make sense in our heads. But I realized during that time, any time God has led us to do that, it's because even though I don't know the end from the beginning, the one who's leading me does. And He will set me up to have the bountiful harvest when I need the bountiful harvest. And if I will obey Him and I will sow when and where He tells me to sow, guess what I will meet up with on the day I need a bountiful harvest? I won't meet up with drought. I'll meet up with the harvest. And so God's looking out for me. It's always working for my good. He's never leading me to do something that won't help me. And whatever it was that I needed or I was planning, He's got that under control as well. So my, you know, little small-minded way of thinking, I just cast that aside and I instead say, I'm just going to trust You. And I'm going to go ahead and sow this and do what You're telling me to do instead of doing what I think is a good idea. We're going to obey You. And when we obey You, we're going to put our trust in You and we're going to continue to look to You because You're managing this thing. You're working this thing for our good. And we know that if You're leading us to do this, we need to do it. And there'll be a day where we'll turn around and we'll say, whew, aren't we glad we did that? Because look what the Lord has done. So that's, I'm telling you, that's a real key. We get super excited about God supplying our needs and not nearly as excited about us sowing seeds. But if we understood what was on the other side of the seeds that God's leading us to sow, it would be amazing how we would act and how joyful we would be in our giving. We would be really rejoicing as we give, knowing what God has on the other side of it for us. We don't know the details. We don't know the dates. We don't know the times. We don't know how it's coming. We don't know the circumstances in which it'll find us. I don't know. But I do know there was a day that there were some things happening financially. It was a really tough time economically in our country. There was a time we had 14 heads of household in the church that were out of work, had lost their jobs. Things were not easy here. And Matt and I were not getting paid. And we were in need. We ourselves didn't have what we needed. I remember not having money to buy groceries. And I remember going to lunch with somebody in the church who just wanted to have lunch with us. We're like, okay, we'll go to lunch. And we just had a nice lunch, whatever. Got up, wasn't even a particularly good meal as I remember. We got up to leave and they just handed us an envelope. And we said, praise God. And they said, we just want to be clear, this is for you and not the church. And we said, well, praise God. We went to the car and I flipped up an envelope and there were 20 $100 bills in that envelope. But that was the harvest on seeds that were sown when the Lord led us to sow seeds. So, you know, all the times when the Lord says, do this and do that, many times He says, and I know many of you practiced this, but there are many times the Lord, you know, but Matt empties his wallet on a regular basis, you know, and I won't tell you what I do with mine, because you'll try to get to my wallet. But anyway, never mind. Nothing about that. But, you know, the Lord just lays somebody across the room on your heart and you just hand them money. I remember going to lunch another time with somebody else in the church, a single woman who was struggling financially. And we ate and had it was a better meal that day. And we had a good meal and we're leaving. And she said, well, I know you were wondering why we were having lunch. And I was thinking, well, no, I wasn't. I thought it was pretty good lunch. You know, we're doing good. And she goes, it was because of this. And she handed me an envelope and left. And in that envelope, there was over $400. That just startled me. I didn't know she had $400 she could muster together. And you feel really humbled. And she said the same thing. This is not for the church. This is for you. But when I think about times when the Lord has dealt with me, would I go to lunch and give somebody a $100 bills? It's great when it's handed to you, but what if God's telling you to hand it to somebody? That's a big seed of your personal money. To hand it to somebody in a restaurant, that's a pretty big seed. For any of us here, I would think that was pretty big. We'd think about it twice. If you're husband and wife, you might discuss it a little bit. Am I right? Am I the only one here that thinks that would be pretty significant to do? God was setting that couple up for harvest, a bountiful harvest at a time. So that's another thing I've seen God do that. Now, here's my fourth thing. It's the chapter before in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. This is Paul writing, church there at Corinth. And they had been communicating with him about giving him a gift. And he's really just imploring them to actually complete the giving of the gift that they had been proposing to him. And this is what he said in verse 10. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but you now must also complete the doing of it. That is, there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For there is first a willing mind. If there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burden, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Now, the fourth thing in our story behind the big seed and why God might be leading us to sow a big seed is so that we can participate with him in his system of supplying the needs of his people and funding his work in the earth. We can participate with him in supplying the needs of people who have needs and funding his work in the earth. And he says here, the idea is that nobody needs to be in lack. But on the other hand, those that have an overage, there's really no reason for that either, because the overage isn't your security. You don't put your trust in the overage. You put your trust in God. And so when you have funds, and you're clothed and you've eaten, according to what we read in Timothy, if you've eaten today and you've been clothed and you have money in your pocket, that money's available. If you didn't eat today and you need some food, but if you ate, you got food somewhere and you got clothes, then that money's available for God to use it to bless people and to be into fund his ministry. Now, I want to participate with God in everything he's doing. Now, you might not be like me, and so you just have to let the Lord work with you where you are. But I remember, even as a child, I wanted to be a part of what God was doing in the earth. And I've always wanted to be part of it. And of course, I want to lay hands on the sick and see recovery. And of course, I want to see people saved and people raised up and their lives changed and transformed and then begin to experience the abundant life that Jesus has given us, and to see them become disciples and to actually make disciples and to bring transformation to others. I want to see that and participate in it. But, you know, that's not all that is part of participating in God's plan in the earth. He also, we all believe, he is the source of supply. But it's very plain, he uses people to supply us. And so while we all love it when other people supply us, don't we want to be part of being the supply? Now, if you've ever really been a part of being supply, you know what I'm talking about. It's a whole lot more fun to be the one bringing the supply than to be the one getting the supply. It's the truth. And I, over and over and over and over and over in my life, I've experienced that, to be a part of bringing the supply. Now, before we moved here some number of years ago, I probably could remember, 2003, we were on Wrightsboro Road, and the Lord told us to leave that facility and to move west. And so we left, and the first step was we left and we moved to a school, and we did this set up, tear down thing for 2 years. And during that time, we did what's called a capital stewardship campaign. It's a time where, as a church body, we came together and we made a pledge together to give over and above our regular tithes and offerings, to give for the purpose of funding, you know, so we could have a larger amount of money so we could purchase a building, whether that was to get a down payment or buy some land so we could build whatever the Lord would lead us to do. And we called it Moving Forward Together. Some of you were in our church when we did that. And so during that time, we took pledges, and as Matt and I prayed about that, the Lord gave us a number, and it was a big number. It was a really big number. It was a big number, y'all. It was a really big number. It was not a number I was, like, ready to do without some further prayer. But what it was going to do was we would give an initial offering, and then we would just give all along until we got to the end of, and we'd give it over a three-year period. Now, during that three-year period, we gave over and above our tithes, over and above our over and above giving that we did, we gave tens of thousands of dollars. This is, we got little kids, we got, you know, all this is going on. I'm like, what in the world? But the Lord led us and supernaturally helped us to give tens of thousands of dollars into that capital stewardship campaign. We're not the only ones. There's other people in this room that did the same. But you know, I was able to participate with God in His system of supplying. And do you know that every good thing that's happened on this property since we moved here in May of 2005, not only do I have a part as a leader, not only do I have a part as, you know, a believer that's been part of the church, I have a part of it financially. And the Bible says that when we do things financially, even here on the earth, that I don't know exactly how it works out. Some people think they know, they don't. But there is something that's credited to a heavenly account that we can withdraw from both in this world and in the world to come. It will be, we're doing something that affects things even eternally. Because money is more than just stuff. Money represents our lives because we laid down our lives to get the money. And so I think about that. Now, that's been years ago. That's been, I mean, you know, we finished that in, that was 2003, like 2006, not long after we moved, you know, year after we moved here. So that's been more than 10 years ago. But that was seed that I sowed, that we sowed as a family. I was able to participate with God in something. So and none of these are like independent. They're all part of the reason for the big seed. And now let me close with the last one. And it's this. Y'all remember the story of the rich young ruler? I'm not going to take time to read. It's in Luke 18. It's actually in three of the four gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded the story of the rich young ruler, they called him, who came to Jesus, and he said, "What, Master, must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he listed off all his things that he had been doing, and Jesus said, "Well, that's great." He said, "But one thing you lack, you need to sell what you have and give to the poor." And the Bible says this man turned around and walked away from Jesus. And he said, "Come follow me. Take up your cross and follow me." And he's the only guy that's recorded in the Gospels that Jesus said directly to, "Follow me," other than the 12. Now, I would say just based on Jesus saying to him, "Follow me," those were like key words in the scripture, that Jesus had a significant plan for this young man. He looked at him and said, "I want you to sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me." He had something he had planned for this guy. But that guy did the most stupid thing that day. He did something that people do all the time. They looked at him, and this guy looked at Jesus and said, not going to be able to do that. Says he turned and he walked away. He was sorrowful. I'm going to tell you, he thought he was sorry that day. No, the sorrow really came later. He was sorrowful at that moment because the Bible says he had great possessions, great treasure, great riches. He was a really rich man, and he didn't want to part with his stuff. But the sorrow wasn't really that day. The sorrow was what he got experienced later when he found out what he missed out on. And my fifth point is this, that when God's leading me to sow a big seed, he's doing it so that I can embrace the future that God has for me and I can refocus my trust in him. Whatever future God has for you, whatever his divine purpose is, what he's called you to, the true riches that he has for you, which is the fulfillment of doing what he's made you to do and the satisfaction of hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's it, man. It's going to require great faith in him. It's going to require us focusing our trust on him, not on stuff, not on our riches, not on what we have. And we just have to step out in faith and do things that are kind of absurd. You know, right after Matt and I married, when Matt and I married, Matt took his duffel bag and moved in with me. That's what he had. And I had a little more, which included a picture of an Indian. I don't know why I had the picture of the Indian. Remember that old picture of the Indian we used to have in our apartment? That was weird. So anyway, it was a great looking Indian, but this one, I liked it. But so he'd been doing me. But I had, again, I had been squirreling away my money while I worked in college. I would stash away my money, and I'd saved up over $1,000. Now, at that time, $1,000 in today's dollars is over $2,000. But I had this money, and that's what we had. And we had spent it on all kind of, you know, the money I had for various things. We had to move twice right away, and then we had to get an apartment and put down payment security and all that. And so we had $1,000, which in today's dollars would be about $2,100. That's all the money then that we had. And we're at church in Tulsa, the church we went to. And the Lord spoke to us and told us to give that money to the church. Now, you know, I'm 21 years old. Maybe I was 22 at this point. And we're giving all our money. Now, here's something else you don't know. I don't have a job. I've just graduated from college, and I don't have a job and no prospects of a job. And Matt's going to school full-time, and he's working full-time, working in room service. This is our big source of income, his room service job. And I don't have a job, and I've been having difficulty getting one. And now the money that I do have, that we do have, we're giving that to the church. That looks to me like they have plenty of money. And they really don't need mine. But the Lord told us to do it. And we wrote that check and gave that money. You remember that, Matt? Years later, the pastors of that church were in town here. They were at TV 36. And Matt and I went over to see them. We didn't know them personally back then. The church was a really large church, and we didn't know them. But they were here in town, and we went over, and we were able to talk with them, and we shared a meal with them and talked with them. And when we were with them, the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me that giving that gift was significant towards pastoring Good News Church today. Because we were making a big sacrifice for another man's vision, for something God called somebody else, somewhere else to do. Because just a few months, less than 5 months after we gave that gift, we left Tulsa. We've never been in that church again. That was 30 years ago. We've never even been back to that church. So it isn't like we were able to partake of that or be blessed by it in any way, in a personal way. But we sowed that seed. And we didn't know what God's plan for us was. But God had a purpose. You see what I'm saying? There was a significant end to that. And you know, the church started out of a tent meeting. What we never share is at the beginning of the tent meeting, when the guy, David Horton, came to the town to do the tent meeting, the Lord told us to sow a very large offering into the tent meeting. We didn't know that at the end, 2 weeks later, when the tent was being taken down, that Matt would go to, you know, that we would go out to dinner at TGI Fridays that night, and Matt would, you know, surrender to the call, or Matt would say, okay, I'll do a church. And that 2 months after that, we would be renting a building so we could practice having church. We had no idea that was going to happen, but God told us, give them a significant amount of money. And we just did it. Now, when we did that, we had two little girls. We may have just had one car then. I think we only had one car. And I had just found out I was pregnant with Harry. And like all good kids that live at the Judd house, he was a surprise. And so I'm going, and so take this big chunk of money and give it to this guy who's coming to town to put up a tent on Gordon Highway. What good's that going to do anyway? Little did I know what was going to happen in the next 2 weeks. And honestly, I know my time is up. I could stand here all night and tell you stories. I have really great stories, even lots more than these to tell. Times in my life, our lives, and in that we've seen God speak to us and tell us to give, and to give significant. Again, I'm not even talking about tithing. I'm not talking about giving in every offering that comes by. I give in every offering. I tithe. I give over and above. That's all set giving. When God tells me to give to people, I give to people. I just try to be a blessing. I try to have an abundance for every good work. All of these things. But there are times where it's a big deal, and it's a big amount, and it's significant, and you aren't really that quick to do it. But there's great reward in your obedience. And I don't want you missing out on the reward. Whatever God might tell you to do. Tonight's just a reminder. He's a God who leads us in extraordinary ways. Matt keeps talking about having a big year, a big year, a big year. One thing I know about anything that God wants to do big is the big year, the big harvest, the big whatever comes out of a big seed. It always does. I've never had a big anything that didn't start with a big seed. You know why? Because that is the governing law of our universe. Seed, time, harvest. So there's nothing that comes big that didn't start as a seed. So I don't know what the Lord might be telling you to do, but I'm just telling you, He's dealt with me for 3 weeks to speak on this. So I'm just speaking on it here tonight. Do with it what you want. Stand, if you will. Father, we thank you tonight that you're a God who speaks to your people. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful tonight that we don't have to have any person tell us what to do, because Jesus is our Lord. And by the precious Holy Spirit, Jesus dwells within us and leads us and guides us from the inside out. And tonight, Father, just as I've given this message that you gave me, Father, we look to you to lead us in every good thing. And we know for certain you're a good, good Father, and you only have our best interest at heart. And whatever you lead us to do, you have in mind something wonderful you're going to bring to us. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for our eternal rewards, that those would be real to us. But also, Father, the satisfaction of knowing that we are moving into your plan to know and fulfill what you have called us to do. And I pray for all of us that the reality of seeking first your kingdom would become more prominent in our lives. And we'd see the importance of seeking you first in everything, even when it comes to our money. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.